So one day a woman came in who was really anxious, and Rhoda saw her, and she asked me to talk to her. And in the conversation, I found out that she'd had some real relationship problems with her daughter, with her one daughter, who is usually quite respectful and quiet, but the other daughter, who you would expect she'd have more problems with, was very blunt. But somehow she could handle the bluntness better than the quietness, because the quiet daughter would let the problems, the frustrations pile up, and then she'd dump them all on mother. And mother would just cry buckets of tears and feel terribly anxious and fall over into a faint. And the family, at which point became very afraid, were sure mother is dying and would rush to rescue mother. And anyway, this patient, this mother, was embarrassed how she was handling things. She didn't know what to do, but it just made her so anxious about her relationship with this daughter. And so I said, you know, I think God really wants to help you with this. How about if you would just sit down with that daughter and explain to her that you'd like, explain how accumulated frustrations piled on her, how it makes you feel nervous, and you'd rather hear it at the time that it's happening, and rather hear it in a quiet voice, not in an angry voice. And maybe you should take the initiative to ask her too. Are you frustrated with me right now? And anyway, so the next time she came in, I asked her, how are you doing? Oh, I just went home and I just did just exactly what you said. And I've not had any fainting spells, and we've not had these huge frustrating explosions. So then the second story that I was thinking of is a woman who also came in afraid. And she told me about how after her brother died, she saw and experienced these really weird symptoms. She heard footsteps in their house. And she says, I don't know if you believe in this or not, but there was nobody there. And I heard noises. And then she said, and my daughters, They used to be so submissive, but now they're just rebellious. I don't know what to do. I said, well, yes, I do believe that we're in a spiritual world. I do believe that. And that, but our God is much greater than the enemy. And we can pray to him. And why don't we just pray right now and ask that God would make these, if there's an evil spirit that's troubling your family, make them leave. And I would suggest that you would pray with your daughters, too. And every night. And even if you're not comfortable in praying out loud, maybe you can pray quietly. But the three of you pray together. And so the next time she came in, as she said, she heard no more noises. And her daughters were cooperating very well. She had a good relationship. The third story I wanted to tell you is that I'd been really, after last summer, I'd been really wishing to motivate our sisters in the church to get involved with outreach, mission outreach. I didn't know how to do it, but one of our patients came into the clinic, and I had been talking to her regularly whenever she'd come in, and she'd had a very painful life. And I'd ask her again and again, I'd say, are you ready to surrender your life to God? Well, no, she wasn't ready, but she was very open. She wanted prayer and very open to talking. And anyway, so then I think it was in April, I said, are you ready this time? No, I'm not. But I was invited to a friend's service, church service, friend's church service, and I'm going. Now, this friend's church service means that they invited their friends, and the point of it was to show that you're special to me, to honor them, and then also give them an opportunity to talk about God. So I thought, oh, that's a great idea. That is so Salvadoran. We should do that ourselves. So I talked to the sisters in the church and told them about it. They all liked the idea. And so we decided not to call it a friends service. We decided to call it a friends gathering. And what we did is to the first gathering that we had stories, testimonies of how God answers prayer. And then we had fun activities together and a time of refreshments, food. Would you know, the second meeting, the first time we had five, and one of our Salvadoran brothers was just shocked at the amount of people we had and who came. But the point was, it was because it was friends. And we had given them invitations that said, you know, this is a friend's, you know, so they knew they were a friend. So the second meeting, we had more than double that came to that friend's. And in the first meeting, they said, one of them said, well, I want you to come to my house the next time. One of the friends said that. And then in the second one, another one said, I want you to come to my house for this friend's meeting.
Well, Marietta, you have just demonstrated. You said something about every person is on a journey from A to Z. You've demonstrated that every person lives in a world. And something that the Lord has impressed me about is that, you know, a person who's depressed, his world is a black world. A person who's happy, his world is a happy world. He's a joyful person. So everybody has a world they live in. And what impresses me about what you ladies have been doing is that you have been changing the world one person at a time. I mean, the whole world for that one person.
That's true.
Blessings. Arthur, I think it's...
Jana, you told us a story about the farmer with the high diabetes. Could you tell that story to the group?
Yeah. Sometimes it feels like we are kind of the last dumping grounds when nothing else works. It was last spring, I think, Marietta came. We've had a policy to not admit new patients to the clinic, probably for 10 years now, except every day we make an exception, probably. Because it's necessary. So she came to me with just the Marietta look, which it meant to me, okay, I know I'm going to say yes. It's automatic. But she came in and said, look, there's this guy, and he looks really bad. He's from 2 hours in, and he can't even walk decently. He's a young farmer, but he had to have his wife help him to walk these 2 hours. So first thing we did, we checked the blood sugar. Well, our machine, normally your blood sugar after eating your ice cream was probably about 125, 130. Our machine can measure up to 650. Our machine could not measure his blood sugar. And he had been, this guy is a small guy anyway, and never overweight, but he had lost 50 pounds. He looked like he was dying, and he acted like he was dying. He was pale. He couldn't walk a straight line. I was so concerned about how he was walking and how weak he was and how much weight he'd lost that I asked Marietta to do the unbelievable favor of taking him into the Capitol, using special funds to get an MRI, which is really a technology we don't try to use very often, to make sure he wasn't dying of a brain tumor. He wasn't. He had only diabetes. He had already been to several clinics, and for some reason, they didn't have a blood sugar machine monitor there at the clinic, so they couldn't check his blood sugar, and he was enough of a farmer that they didn't pay much attention to him, so he got to this stage. So I told you the story about what happens with our diabetics when we send them to the emergency room. So we did the crazy thing of starting him on insulin that day and sending him walking back out to walking 2 hours back to his home in the hot Salvadoran sun. Had him come back the next clinic day, and he was gaining weight. He started walking straight. He was back out in his bean fields this spring. Just an amazing instance of what paying a little bit of attention and using very low technology and a fair amount of nerve can do for the well-being of one person in one world. Oh, that's right. He became a believer.
And this, after all, is the purpose of medical missions, is to present Christ to them. Great, yeah. I hadn't heard that story.
If we shouldn't start talking about our staff, and one of the reasons that we're feeling a need to have you pray with us.
Yeah, you may wonder why I'm up here to begin with. They asked me to serve this evening because I do serve on the AMA board, and AMA gives not really oversight, but they are at least quite involved in the clinic and in some funding at least, and providing workers. And so that's why I'm here this evening. And so I feel a little green. I've only been on the board for about a year and a year and a half now. But it's been very good, and I'm just eager to see what these ladies will tell us about what they hope will happen with staffing yet, and what is happening.
Let's just say about a year ago, Lil and Marietta and I were sitting together at some place for our birthdays, and Marietta threw the bomb at me that she's leaving within a year. By that time, Hannah was being courted very earnestly by this gentleman.
That's two.
And we had already known that Rhoda, that's three, had been planning to leave. She'd already said was planning to leave this coming April. So that would be 75% of the gringas on the staff. That's time for a big gulp and some prayer.
We have 5 Salvadoran staff and wonderful people. Martha's been with us for 26 years. Her 26th year anniversary will be in September. And Annabelle has been with us, I think it's 17 years, something like that. And the others have been there 2 to 5 years, I think.
Tell us what all they can do.
Martha does PAP exams, checks, maybe you should say that part.
She has a fourth grade education from El Salvador and has learned to do basic diagnosis, does all my dressing changes. She's the head of the lab. She trains new people in the lab. She's the head, she's actually the dean of employees, and she's the one who sets the standard for employee excellence. She has missed 2 days of work in 26 years. One was when she had chicken pox and was so full of chicken pox she couldn't show up, and the other one was one day when her dad died. Those are her 2 days that she's missed. And she sets the standard of excellence. Also sets the standards of niceness to patients. Carla is learning to become a medical assistant to double check my work, because actually I sometimes make a mistake. the computer does. Roxana, they all do the intakes, so they save a lot of my time, but get to know the patients, love the patients. And the front desk then is Brenda. She's the only one right now. And does the intake work, does vitals, answers phone calls. Annabelle has been our person who does maintenance, landscape, laundry, plus our personal salads for teaching patients how to eat healthy foods, and is our personal friend. Grinds our coffee.
Who wants to tell the group about, we said 3 out of 4 are leaving now. By the way, since April of 2018, we've been looking for a doctor to replace Jana. Not that she needs to be replaced now, but how many conservative Anabaptist doctors do you know? We are having a terrible time finding a doctor, and we still don't know. We're still crying out to God and say, God, Jana needs to retire, and we need to have a plan for a replacement. And so that started in April 2018. Did we know that we needed these other three replacements? We didn't know that. I think that's the way it started. We were looking for a replacement for Jana, and then all of a sudden, we need 3 other replacements. So who's going to talk about that?
So Hannah left in June, and we limped along while she was gone. Rhoda was trying to do 2 people's jobs. And then Anna Zimmerman, who had worked with us earlier, is coming back to train in a Rosalind Yoder, who's taking Jana's place, I mean Hannah's place. But she doesn't know Spanish, so she needs to learn that in September. And Anna will be covering for her, doing her job, but training her in as well. And Phoebe Yoder is taking my place, but has only committed till the end of December. And then we have a Lorena Schrock from Costa Rica, who will be coming in January to take my place. So I have committed that I can go back down and train her in.
The issue that we really are facing now is we have no medical people to replace Rhoda or me. And we have really scoured the conservative Anabaptist circles. We considered actually nationals, but for one reason or another, every national that we've considered, particularly our Salvadoran attorney, feels very hesitant about. So we are earnestly praying right now for a replacement for Rhoda. We think it needs to be either a very sharp, seasoned RN, or our preference would be a mid-level. I would really, if that's probably our biggest current prayer request, is somebody to replace Rhoda. We need her on board now, him. On board now, because there's a fair amount, especially if they need to learn Spanish, there's a fair amount of information to be transmitted between now and April of next year.
What is a mid-level?
A physician's assistant or nurse practitioner.
So thinking of kind of winding down, we're saying we have a huge need. We don't have the people we need, the medical people that we need. Does Jana, Marietta, do you have any comments before we go to prayer?
At one point, we really didn't know if we were going to be able to keep the clinic open. Right now, it looks like at least until next April, the clinic is open. I don't think at my age that I'm going to be able to probably, we certainly can't see the same number of people. If it's wise to keep the clinic open, if somebody doesn't show up to replace Rhoda, we don't know. We're really praying about that, but we really earnestly need prayer. Oh, 2 other points. We talked about the fact that they're not physicians that we can find, that we're not finding physicians. However, we have 2 wonderful young men who are interested and joining us at the clinic. The Aguilar brothers have made no promises, but they've come to visit the clinic and are really interested, Glenn and Joshua. However, they are 8 years out.
And it's not reasonable for you to hang on 8 years without any help.
Christopher, there was a board who's been helping us try to figure out how to survive. And my good brother Arlen back there was the one who said, you need an administrator to help you at the clinic. And he was right. So when Christopher came down, he has just done a marvelous job of taking a lot of load off my shoulders, which I didn't even realize I was quite carrying. But has just been a marvelous man, and he's been looking, helping us look for people, for replacements. Yeah, he's taking work off of a number of different people, and it's been just a great gift. Yes. Laverne asked, could we ask for a prayer focus for the medical person who's needing to hear from the Lord, or perhaps who's hearing from the Lord or who's been contacted by the Lord but not listening too well?
I think then that we'll move toward prayer unless there's something, some question that you... You still have, we want to again have a focused time of prayer, and Vern's suggestion is good. We want to pray for the needs, and we want to pray for the people that God has prepared that we don't know about yet, that God has prepared to take that place. So you've heard about the need, and you've heard about the personnel need, and you've heard about what would happen if there was no longer a clinic there. That's a really hard... At some point, we may have to look at that, but it's a really hard... It's not easy to think about that. So our prayer requests, and to give you some suggestions about how to pray, is that we could find the gift, the replacements that God has for Jana as a doctor and the RN. And I encourage you to appeal to God. The Bible says he cares about the fatherless and the widows. Doesn't that give you an idea about God's heart? It gives me the idea that he cares a lot about the disadvantaged and the people who can't go to Santa Ana and pay a doctor. So we're going to do the same thing we did last time. We're going to encourage you to form groups of four or six to pray about these things. And then I'm going to ask Laverne to come up here and at 10 till 9. Remember, you guys had ice cream. So that took a bunch of this time. So don't watch the clock. This is our chance to have a time of prayer. So Laverne, I want you to... Laverne has been someone who's been very involved in the clinic from a long time ago. He's been... getting medicines down there, and he was on Jana's cheerleading team before she went. So I want him to lead us in prayer. Are we winding down? Okay. We've already had the announcements. So at 10 till, he's going to come up and lead us in a prayer here. And that will be the end, I guess. Okay? Your groups of four praying for the future of the El Salvador Clinic.